This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. As the World Cup continues, we're in the midst of round of 32 knockout round, and we also saw a pretty big upset on Monday evening. We start with a little baseball because we've got a massive pitching showdown on Tuesday night at Yankee Stadium. The Tigers took care of business against the Yankees, Matt, on Monday night, beating them 7-3. The Yankees, after getting swept in a four-game series against the Red Sox, come back home and lose. And now, whoo, buddy, if you like pitching, Tuesday night is your game. Tarik Skubal, two-time AL Cy Young winner, against this year's favorite, Cam Schlittler. And as we take a look at the board for Tuesday evening, the New York Yankees, $1.40 favorite, total 7.5, juiced under at -120, Matt.
Yeah, and Schlittler, over his past three starts, which is 18 innings, has allowed one earned run. The problem is the Red Sox scored four unearned runs against the Yankees in that game Thursday night. Yankees are 3-1 in Schlittler's last four starts with that loss at Fenway. I would like to back Schlittler here, but we're just not sure what the Yankees offense is going to do against Skubal. And when you look at his past three starts, they're not that strong. Six innings, four runs against the Yankees a week ago. That was a 4-2 Yankees win in Detroit. 5 2/3 innings, three runs against the White Sox. 4 2/3, three runs, two earned against the Guardians. Skubal has not shut down opponents in his three starts since he returned in the middle of June. I'm inclined to look at the total here, if anything, because the Yankees offense has been anemic without Aaron Judge and others at this point. I might look under the total of 7.5 if I'm going to play this game. I don't want to lay the $1.40 or so with the Yankees with their offense in such poor shape right now.
Yeah, right now, Cam Schlittler -105 at FanDuel to win the AL Cy Young. Christopher Sanchez, Matt, for the Philadelphia Phillies. He was the favorite for quite some time. The Miz has been on fire, and Sanchez has looked, well, we'll just say human. He hasn't looked spectacular, hasn't been awful, but Christopher Sanchez will toe the rubber. And you and I were sitting here last week. Sanchez gives up five runs against the Nationals in five innings, and yet the Nationals squandered that lead, and the Phillies won that game in that crazy series in which the Phillies won every single game in the ninth inning. So after a Monday night disaster for the Philadelphia Phillies, they led 5-0, gave up eight straight runs, cut it back down to one run, and then ultimately lost 11-7. Aaron Nola was terrible. What do we get from Christopher Sanchez against the Pittsburgh Pirates as Pittsburgh right now, or excuse me, Philly, with Sanchez on the hill, -230 favorites?
If anything here, I think you got to play the Phillies on the run line. Lay the 1.5. Lay the cheap price here on Philadelphia and hope that Sanchez pitches like he did over that stretch for about a month when he and the Miz were the best pitchers in baseball.
Oh, that month of June was something special.
Yeah,
or month of May, I beg your pardon.
He has not been unhittable since, but still, I think the Phillies certainly have the firepower to cover a 1.5. You're not going to sweat that out here against Chandler, the opposing starter for Pittsburgh. I don't know if I'm going to play it that way, but if I did, that's how I'd do it.
Matt, also on Tuesday night, I will be in attendance. I'll be headed to Wrigley Field to watch the Cubs take on the San Diego Padres. Matthew Boyd will take the rubber for the Chicago Cubs. He's dealt with injuries this year, started five games before hitting the IL, made his first return last week, was pretty good in his return against the Mets, through 4 2/3 scoreless innings, walk four, struck out four. So Boyd, just his second start since early May when he hit the IL, taking on the San Diego Padres. And right now the Cubs run a $1.50 favorite at Wrigley tomorrow night.
You kind of like the Cubs here. The Padres, to me, are not a bet-on team in very many cases here. And the Cubs, 8-2 in their last 10 going into Monday night. And they've cut that deficit to about five games behind the Brewers in the National League Central. I'd lean Cubs, but I think this game's priced right where it should be. Let's put it that way.
Matt, the New York Mets are let's just call it what it is. They're laughable right now. It wasn't a complete disaster on Monday night. Oh, yeah. Juan Soto misplayed a ball in the first inning, and George Springer right. is able to get a Little League home run. The game ends up 2-1. Blue Jays get the win, but this is a team in the New York Mets that have lost 9 out of 10. They fired their manager last week. They're an embarrassment. They're 35-50, but they've got a good pitcher going on Tuesday night. Nolan McLain will take the hill. Any interest to play a terrible team in the New York Mets at +115 against the Blue Jays?
Well, the Mets certainly made me and the Blue Jays sweat this one out on Monday night in that 2-1 game against Treya Savage. Nolan McLain, so far, 4-5 through 16 starts, a whip of 1.12, ERA just over 4. I like McLain a lot, but he has not been that great recently. And in fact, his last start against the Cubs, he gave up 6 runs and 2 homers in 6 innings. Previous to that, his four starts prior were pretty strong against the Reds, Braves, Padres, and Marlins. I wouldn't be afraid to bet the Mets here, but tell you the truth, I'm trying not to bet on bad teams. So I really don't want to.
What
bet
do you
on
say, Matt? Don't expect bad teams to do good things.
Well, if you're gonna ask bad teams to do good things, where you're gonna be disappointed quite a bit.
Well, Matt, are the Dodgers a good team?
Dodgers are definitely good.
Justin Robleski is
A's are not good.
Going right to now. Get the start in West Sacramento. Robleski, you know, heading into the year, we thought maybe this guy would be the weak link in this Dodgers rotation.
We thought wrong.
2.71 ERA
pretty
far
strong.
This year. Yeah.
I like Robleski. He's really grown on me. You watch this lefty. Doesn't have stuff that blows you away, but he's giving the Dodgers a chance to win basically every game he started. I like Robleski, and look, the A's are in a tailspin right now. Going into Monday night, they had dropped the final two games to the Angels. I think they dropped 4 of the last 5 they played the Angels head-to-head. A's are not a bet-on team right now, and Dodgers were at a really cheap price on Monday night at -117, and here you can grab about -145, 150. Dodgers were pass for me.
You know, the Milwaukee Brewers, their starting rotation with Woodruff coming back and pitching as well as he has, even though they only won one game over the weekend against the Cubs. You look at a three-headed monster as of now of Miz, then you go to Harrison, and then to Woodruff. Brandon Sproat, you could argue, the weak link right now in this Brewers rotation. ERA of 5.43. Brewers get the Reds on Tuesday night as game 2 of that series, Matt. And right now, Brandon Sproat and the Brewers at -180. Hard for me to lay a price like that, especially with the offense that struggles and arguably their worst pitcher in their rotation on the hill.
Not going to do it, Tim. Do you want to take the dog?
I feel like the Reds, speaking of bad teams.
Reds did win a couple of Pittsburgh over the weekend, but you're right.
Yeah, got off to that great start. I mean, it feels like end of March and all of April was a long time ago because that was a hot team. We were singing the praises of Tito Francona.
Well, I mean, the Reds still got some time to gain ground in that division. They're not out of it. But the Brewers are not playing their best baseball right now, and that's a fact. And -180, no, I'm not going to lay that with Sproat. Would you lay it with Miz? Yeah.
Sure.
But you're not going to do it here, so no thanks.
Matt, the World Cup continues on Tuesday. 3 more knockout games. We've got the Ivory Coast taking on Norway. Heavy favorites France against Sweden. And then the atmosphere that will be the top of the entire day will be the evening affair down in Mexico City as Mexico takes on Ecuador. Looking at the totals in those games, AT&T Stadium will have Norway and the Ivory Coast, Matt, and that total is sitting at 2.5, slightly juiced to the over, which is to be expected with Norway's firepower from an offensive standpoint. Sweden and France, this game will be played at MetLife Stadium, and boy, France might have got themselves a nice little present early on here, Matt, as Germany gets knocked out by Paraguay in penalty kicks. So if France wins on Tuesday, which they are heavy favorites to do so against the Swedes, they will move on and take on Paraguay in Philadelphia on the 4th of July, and then Mexico and Ecuador. You've got a 2.5 total, 3.5 total, and then how about a total of either 1.5 juiced over or just 2 for Ecuador and Mexico?
I'm pulling for France. I got a 5-1 bet on the France to win this World Cup. Got some strong favorites, popular favorites coming up here in the World Cup the next couple days. How about France minus 800 to advance? Mexico minus 185. England minus 1,000. USA minus 700. Spain minus 1,000. Tim, I think, are you going to parlay all those favorites?
I am not going to do that. No thanks. By the way, if you're thinking about your parlay of notable stars to score, how about Mbappe at minus 175 to score tomorrow?
He did not score the previous game.
He did not. And Haaland is at minus 140. So will the stars continue to shine tomorrow? Norway favorites against the Ivory Coast. Haaland to score minus 140. And then Mbappe and the French, he's minus 175. So the World Cup continues. Of course, the United States will play Bosnia on Wednesday night out in the Bay Area, where they are pretty significant favorites. Matt, just a reminder to all the folks out here, we've got a early bird special going on right now over at vsin.com. And if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get our VSiN NFL betting guide, which is out right now, chock full of information and best bets. On a daily basis, you get our best bets at vsin.com/picks. You also get betting splits data from both Circa and DraftKings, and of course 24/7 video access. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe right now to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Early bird special, $175.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here on a Monday night. Matt, you got some positive news for one of your best bets as the A's trying to make something happen here in the bottom of the second inning and got themselves a homer as well.
Yeah, let's update this game right now. The A's trailed the Dodgers 2-1. The A's made a ridiculous defensive blunder in the top of the second inning. Routine fly ball to right field. The center fielder and the right fielder looked at each other and let the ball drop. And you don't need to give the Dodgers help. That's one thing you don't need to give the Dodgers extra at-bats, extra outs. Dodgers right now minus 165 at DraftKings, up 2-1. Gage jumped the lefty for the A's, did a nice job. He was in big trouble in that second inning, thanks to that defensive blunder being one reason. But he struck out Shohei Ohtani and then got out of the inning. So limited the damage to 2, and the A's now have runners on first and second with one out here in the bottom of the second. They need to give Gage Jump a little offensive support to make up for that defensive mistake there. So 2-1 in West Sacramento. Angels up 2-0 on the Mariners in the third. Angels now minus 160.
Other games going on. Shota Imanaga's night just came to a conclusion. He pitched well for the Cubs. It is a 2-2 game at Wrigley Field. Right now, the Cubs, $1.55 favorite. Shota Imanaga, 2 runs, 9 hits, 4 strikeouts for Imanaga, lowering his ERA to 4.30. So 2-2 score with one out, top of the seventh inning. Cubs right now, $1.55 favorite. How about the Brewers, Matt? You know, you and I were previewing tomorrow's slate, and the Brew Crew have tied this thing up. The bats have started to come alive a little bit. You asked me, would I bet the Reds on Tuesday night with Sproat on the hill? Nope. Can't do it. Not going to bet the Brewers, but not going to bet the Reds. Cannot trust that bullpen, and it is 3-3. The Brewers have now moved to a minus 219 favorite. Let me double-check who homered. Bryce Tarang just homered in the seventh to tie that game up. So bottom of the eighth inning in Milwaukee, Brewers and Reds tied at three. And Matt's good news for you.
Tie in West Sacramento. We got a single. Going to drive in the second run for the A's, 2-2. A's now flipped to the favorites, minus 122. That's because they have runners on the corners and one out. And hopefully the A's can get another one home here.
Good defensive.
Runner at third with one out. What do you, really you love to call soccer. What's
really,
going on, Tim?
Great defensive play by Netherlands here. Looked from the back that it was going to be maybe a takedown or something like that, but not the case. And now could we see ourselves a first goal? Nope, we're going to get offside. So still nil-nil, Matt. You know,
exciting game.
So I have I sense some sarcasm. I have a bet that I followed Alex Blowers on, which was Morocco to reach the round of 16, plus 125.
Right.
I also bet a little bit Morocco plus a half tonight, essentially the double result. But there is one bettor out there that is saying, I do not want either of those to happen. How about this bettor at Fanatics? He currently has a $9.53 five-leg parlay, Matt, that would bring home over $63,000.
How many legs on the parlay?
Five. First or four are already home.
Underdog prices or what?
We had Real Madrid in a match, I don't know when, at minus 145. The Knicks to win the championship, 16-1.
All right.
The Hurricanes to win the Stanley Cup, plus 280. He had Paris to win the Champions League at plus 190.
Wow.
And now, to wrap it up, all he needs, Matt, pretty easy, the Netherlands to win the World Cup.
Oh, okay. So he's got a little ways to go.
He's got a ways to go. But that was $9.53. And right now, if it came home, it would be $63,000 return on his investment. So we will see if he is able to monetize that bet. Did he hedge off of it here with this Morocco match? But pretty big one there going on. Matt, we've got a lot of rumors circulating in the NBA, and we've got some odds to update you on. But first, we played this clip earlier in the show. We want to revisit here. This is Brian Windhorst. He was on the Rich Eisen show earlier today discussing the decision by Draymond Green to opt out of his player option, which would have paid him $27 million. What does that mean for the Golden State Warriors, Matt? Got another run there, 3-2 A's. But what does that mean for the Golden State Warriors moving forward?
The Lakers were offering Austin Reeves this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't happy. Okay, he thought he might have to go elsewhere. The Lakers were concerned that the Pistons were going to offer over the top.
Okay,
and they dramatically increased their offer. Austin Reeves couldn't even believe it. Passes out on the golf course, right? Mm-hmm. So we just saw last week the actions of the Lakers seeing another offer out there for one of their players and then increasing their offer, okay?
Yes.
We just saw last week the Wizards giving Trae Young $200 million in a contract extension. And if I'm Anthony Davis, I'm saying, well, if they're going to give Trae Young a contract extension, why wouldn't they give me a contract extension?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm not saying I know, but part of this could be creating leverage for AD and LeBron in both Washington and LA, and then everybody gets paid on a contract. Or they could all end up in Golden State. I'm not sure which is going to be.
Well, there you go, Brian Windhorst on it. Earlier tonight.
Tell you what, if I owned that team, I would not be giving AD a contract extension.
No.
That's definitely not happening.
I'd happily give LeBron James the veteran minimum at $15 million. Sure, I would take on LeBron James, pair him up. With what we saw, especially in the playoffs, for $15 million, that'd be a bargain. Here are
Windhorst did say this. Sorry. He said, if you're going to give Trae Young a contract extension, why would you not give me one?
Right.
Probably because you're injured all the time and you never play. Talking about Anthony Davis.
Well, Trae Young shouldn't have gotten that.
No,
and
I don't
Anthony
think
Davis shouldn't get it either.
No, the Trae Young contract's ridiculous, but I am not giving AD a contract extension.
Earlier tonight, Matt, the Warriors did agree to an extension with Kristaps Porzingis, 2 years, $40 million, but that doesn't necessarily affect the possibility of getting LeBron and Anthony Davis. They would have to make some moves, obviously, and LeBron would have to agree to the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, but we will see. Let's pull those odds back up yet again for where LeBron James could land. These odds, I believe, are at DraftKings. These do move pretty quickly, so just keep that in mind. But Warriors minus 130, Lakers plus 135, Heat 5-1, Cavs 5-1.
By the way, I don't know if the Cavs can make it work financially or if they even want LeBron. You would think they would.
I would think they would.
5-1 odds. Talk about bad contracts. The Cavs are going to give another one to James Harden.
Oh, God.
Yep.
I don't know if LeBron could deal with playing with James Harden. yeah, that's going to be not a great deal there. By the way, Matt, earlier today, we haven't mentioned it yet, maybe for reason. Ja Morant got traded to the Portland Trailblazers, and there was an offshore book that had odds up earlier today. Ja Morant to go to the Blazers, 20-1 earlier this morning, mm-hmm. and he gets traded. You knew it was a matter of time. By the way, if anyone bought a Cameron Boozer 27 jersey, that thing's going to be a that thing might be one of a kind, because I would imagine Cameron Boozer will quickly change to his number of 12. All right, Matt, quickly update over at AmFam. Joey Ortiz, two-run homer, and the bats have suddenly come to life for the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Brewers are up now 5-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Nick Lodolo, five scoreless, and lo and behold, the Reds bullpen squanders another lead. Brewers now up 5-3.
Brewers offense needs some kind of spark, and that might be it. So that's a big knock there for the Brewers to go up 2 in the eighth on that Reds bullpen. Padres and Cubs at Wrigley, where you're going to be tomorrow night, 2-2 in the seventh.
Couple other NBA notes here, just odd standpoint. Kawhi Leonard, Matt, a lot of chatter today that Kawhi Leonard could be headed back to Toronto. The Raptors are working hard to try to make a move to get Kawhi in Toronto. And how about the odds that we saw earlier today that were minus 500 for the Raptors to be the next team for
Raptors.
Kawhi? That seems
really
either
desperate.
Someone knows something that we don't know, or man, that seems really aggressive.
Bill Plaschke of the Los Angeles Times wrote a column over the weekend called Kawhi Leonard the worst free agent signing in Los Angeles history.
Well,
definitely not a good one.
It's not a good one, because with the signing also came a trade for Paul George.
So was the Paul George trade the worst trade in Los Angeles sports history?
Might be.
That's
I mean you get
think about
rid of
that combination.
You get rid of a two-time MVP and all these picks that pretty much sets up the Oklahoma City Thunder for years and years to come. What could have been in 2020?
How about Jaylen Brown? Where's Jaylen Brown going to go? That's what I want to know.
Let's talk about that, as well as a little more college football fodder. Ohio State, will they win double-digit games with a brutal schedule in 2026?
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Matt, let's head to West Sacramento. Man, it is packed there tonight for the Dodgers against the A's. Makes a lot of sense. A lot of Dodgers fans all throughout that state. And I'm sure plenty of A's fans want to see Shohei Ohtani playing in a minor league ballpark. But good news so far for where you sit.
Yeah, Gage Jump just got a strikeout of Kyle Tucker to end the top of the third. A's lead the Dodgers 3-2. Standing room only. Looks like great weather tonight in West Sacramento. Right now, the live line, A's minus 142. I'll tell you what, I'm not that confident in the A's being able to close out this game. This Dodgers lineup is loaded. And once Jump is out of the game and you go this A's bullpen, all bets are off there. Dodgers are plus 110. You might be able to find a slightly better number out there. That's a DraftKings live number. Live totals 12.5. So three runs for the A's, definitely not going to be enough to win this game.
Morocco just hit one off the crossbar not too long ago remains scoreless in Monterrey, Mexico, between Morocco and Netherlands. The double chance market right now, if you think we will have a winner by the end of regulation, plus 105. Netherlands or Morocco to win, both the double chances that include ties, Morocco to win or tie, minus 425. Netherlands to win or tie, minus 450. The total, which closed 2.5, is now under a half goal, is minus 109 both ways. And let me double check where we're at on the BTTS odds. Minus 1,200 on the no right now for the both teams to score. Netherlands and Morocco still scoreless. It is a true pick'em on who will advance here, and the draw is minus 145. Top of the ninth inning, Matt, the Brewers were down 3-0, and they are now one out and two strikes away from getting a win over the Cincinnati Reds. The bats came alive here for the Brew Crew. And last update, Matt, let's go to the eighth inning, Wrigley Field. Padres and Cubs are tied at two right now in this one. And in this game, Seiya Suzuki's sack fly in the fifth inning tied the game up at two.
You're going to be there tomorrow night at this time. You're going to be at Wrigley. And
drinking an old style.
Is that right?
Got to, right?
You're going to stop at one?
I don't know. What was the prop that I had? My old styles versus... I can't remember. I will have a...
Is your kid...
I would set over under 2.5 old styles.
What's your kid's name?
Young Murray.
He's what, 10?
Youngin. He's about to turn 9.
Okay. So does he like Mexican food?
He does.
A few blocks from Wrigley Field, there's a place called La Bamba's Burritos. You might want to take your kid there.
La Bamba.
La Bamba. They got burritos as big as your head, and you get the chorizo burrito or torta. The kid's going to love it.
All
trust
right.
me.
In.
So it's a few blocks, at least a few blocks from Wrigley. You might check that on your GPS if he likes that. That's definitely worth the trip. I've thought before, I love the place so much, I thought about flying back to Chicago just to eat there and then flying back here.
That would be the all-time humans. That would be incredible.
That's how much I love that place.
5-3, the final. The Brewers beat the Reds once again, 5-3. Do we have a goal here? Do we have a penalty kick? What is happening?
Got something.
I don't know what is going on. There is a massive celebration going on. Did Netherlands score? I believe they did. So the Netherlands scores in the 70th minute to make it 1-0, and we get ourselves a goal, and that is not what I wanted to see happen there.
So that's let's kind see. Of an odd celebration.
Yeah, it looked like the guy was down injured. I have no idea what happened. So the Netherlands score, and they make it 1-0, 72nd minute, and just like that, the odds will shift quite considerably. Netherlands now minus 800. To advance, Matt, the draw has moved to plus 330, and Netherlands' money line in regulation is minus 350. So the Netherlands scores. We got some Surrender Cobra from Morocco fans. Please show the replay. Can we see the replay? Here we go.
A lot of people have bet this Morocco team to get to the round of 16, right?
Yep.
That's a popular play.
Yeah, so here we go. Here is the... how in the world did he? Wow, that was a pretty impressive pass. There was two defenders of Morocco. The player went down to the ground, somehow kicked it over, and that's a heck of a goal as the Netherlands goes up 1-0. Matt, impressive goal, and it looks like Netherlands is in pretty good shape to advance to the round of 16.
You're pretty good at calling these soccer games, Ten. You're like the Vin Scully of soccer announcing.
Of live updates on VSiN.
Classic stuff.
All right, Matt. Kawhi Leonard, where is he going to be next? Is he going to be back?
I don't really care.
What about Jaylen Brown?
How about Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, Jaylen Brown was the one. Sorry. That's the one we were curious about. Will Jaylen Brown be back in Boston in 2026?
It doesn't seem like it. The Celtics have really been trying to move Jaylen Brown for whatever reason for the last couple of years. They definitely like Jason Tatum more than Brown. And I think Brown's tired of being trade bait. He wants out of Boston. But where's he going to go next? Well, we grabbed this odds board earlier today, and the obvious, I don't think the Trailblazers are going to be the favorites now, right, since they got Ja Morant?
No, and the report from, I think, Chris Haynes was that the Blazers are not engaging in conversations with Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, so who are going to be – with the Clippers? Be a viable – how about the Nuggets at 10-1? Because there are rumors that the Denver Nuggets are trying to swing a trade with the Celtics involving maybe Jamal Murray and Jaylen Brown. I would kind of like that deal from the Denver perspective if that – somehow that works out.
Yeah,
I don't think those numbers are going to be 10-1 on the Nuggets right now, though.
No, I things have changed, and you know, certainly as time has gone on, we will see these continue to change here. But
don't you think it's
I think the Nuggets could be interesting at 10-1.
Nuggets would be interesting. Don't you think it's tough for Brad Stevens and the Celtics to continue to patch this up with Jaylen Brown when you continue to put him in trade discussions? And I think he sounds like he's fed up. He's like, all right, I want out. I'm sick of this. I'm underappreciated. I want out.
So if you think about, there was a rumor early on during the Giannis discussion that Giannis would go to Boston, Jaylen Brown would go to the Clippers,
right,
and the fifth overall pick would go to the Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, that did not come to fruition. The Clippers kept that 5 pick and drafted Keaton Wagler out of Illinois. But if Jaylen Brown is shipped to the Clippers, you would have to assume that Keaton Wagler has to be in that deal, right?
He could be,
yeah,
for sure. The Clippers love Keaton Wagler, by
yeah,
the way. You know, I heard Lawrence Frank and some of the Clippers decision makers talking about Wagler and how much research he did on him and how much they like him. But Jaylen Brown be a difference maker right away if you can pick up a player like that. NBA Finals MVP from a couple of years ago. But the Celtics certainly like Tatum more than Brown.
You know, going back to the Blazers.
By the way, Tatum to go Brown to go back to the Celtics is 3-1 odds. Is that? So this is where he would start the season.
Correct.
That's probably...
It's not a bad bet.
It's not a bad bet because it's so difficult to move players like this. You got to make contracts, money match, and everything.
He's under a supermax.
Yeah, these trades are so difficult to make in the NBA that they might be stuck together. Who knows?
Well, going back to Portland, and as of now, it doesn't seem like Portland's necessarily involved in this, but they have the salaries with a Drew Holiday and a young player at Scoot Henderson. Remember, they have all those Bucks picks as well. So they actually probably have the ammunition to go and make this move for a Jaylen Brown. That would be pretty fascinating. Man, as of now, you're looking at a backcourt of Damian Lillard and Ja Morant. The price that you had to pay for Ja Morant was going to be nothing. Memphis wanted nothing to do with him. It had taken long enough, but
think about that too, by the way. If you rewind 2 years,
yeah,
John Morant's value was sky high,
sure,
in the association. And look how far he has fallen in the last couple of years.
So, I mean, I don't hate the trade. You're kind of buying low on John Morant here. We got this from
John Morant might hate the trade.
He might it, yeah. Apparently, according to Shams, he was told the Portland Trailblazers he's excited for heading to Portland.
Okay.
This is also from Shams Charania at ESPN. According to him and the Kawhi Leonard trade talks, those talks are continuing. They're serious between the Clippers and Raptors. We'll see how the conversations go for the next few hours, potentially into tomorrow. But all signs point to these two sides being motivated. Kawhi's tenure in L.A. nearing an end.
Whatever happened to that NBA investigation into the Clippers and the Kawhi Leonard situation last year? Has there been an announcement on that investigation?
All the interesting businesses,
yeah,
that were all out there.
Was like
Netherlands.
Tree trimming business or something. Like
up 1-0, and the Dutch trying to advance to the round of 16.
Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
82nd minute. Down in Mexico, 1-0. Netherlands with the lead over Morocco. And Netherlands looking to advance to the round of 16. Three more matches tomorrow in the World Cup. We will see France back in action. They will take on Sweden. Heavy favorites there. We will also see Norway. Big couple of days for Norway. Victor Hovland wins the Travelers. Right. And now Norway gets Ivory Coast tomorrow morning. And then the atmosphere in Mexico City will be top-notch as Mexico takes on Ecuador. They are a slight favorite in that one. Matt, unfortunately for your bet, you're up 3-2, which is good, but could have been more for the A's in the bottom of the third inning.
A's have bases loaded with two outs. Alika Williams at the plate. He's batting .295. I like my chances. He hits a liner up the middle. Eric Lauer, the pitcher, barely gets his glove on it, knocks it down, turns into a ground out. Dodgers escape. 3-2 as we head to the top of the fourth in West Sacramento. Max Muncy at the plate.
Matt, we mentioned the Angels got out to a 1-0 lead. They actually led 2-0, and now they trail 3-2. But a leadoff double here in the fifth innings for the Angels. 3-2, Mariners with the lead over the Angels in that one.
You know what I'm excited about? College football. You were at the Barnes & Noble bookstore, one of them here in Las Vegas over the weekend. All these magazines are out now.
Yep.
All the college football NFL preview magazines are out. Phil Steele, Sporting News,
Lindy's. Yep. Our buddy Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, will be out in the middle of July.
Mark Lawrence got his magazines out now. Everything's out, right?
Yep. It's time to get rolling. New episode of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Holy smokes.
Yeah, Max Muncy hit that a mile. Tie game, 3-3.
Yeah, 3-3, top of the fourth inning. New episode of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, Matt, coming out tomorrow morning. Joshua Nunn, a.k.a. Duck, over at Action Network, a friend of our show. He's been on here before and been on the podcast a bunch. We went through SEC, Big Ten, a couple G5 win totals, week zero best bets. But, Matt, we had Colby Dant on the podcast last week from the Sports Gambling Podcast, and we talked about Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Very rarely do you see an Ohio State win total in single digits. It's 9.5. It's juiced over. The schedule is brutal for Ohio State, but Colby Dant likes the fact that Ohio State is the best team in the country based off of most power ratings and good chance that they could go over that win total.
And I know, like, we've never, what, Arthur Smith, the new OC, you know, I don't really worry about, you know, because there is the narrative, like, the NFL guys struggle in college. Well, not at Ohio State. You saw Matt Patricia last year.
Right.
Right. And it just, you have to be a really bad coach to fail at Ohio State, especially when you see, you know, this set of, you know, receivers. And I think Saiyan's going to take a step forward this year. You know, he was, I thought at moments, you know, he looked really good last year. He needs to stretch the field a little bit more. I think he will. The receiving core, I think, is the best in the nation. Obviously, Jeremiah Smith and Ennis and what do they got? Chris Henry Jr. this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bo Jackson. But that's the one thing I'm curious to see is whether Arthur Smith, you know, he kind of had the MO in the NFL of being run first. I don't know that you need to do that at Ohio State with this set of receivers, but I think their O-line will take a step forward regardless, just because of his presence. So the schedule, I couldn't believe it. It is a ridiculous schedule, though. Like, at road games at Texas, at Iowa, at Indiana, at USC, that, and then home games against Michigan and Oregon. There is, I don't know that they've ever had a schedule this hard in my entire life. I don't know that, but I just trust that they're going to get it done. Like, as much as I love Iowa and I love Kinnick, it's a dangerous place to play. I think the Buckeyes should be able to handle their own there. At Indiana, maybe they lose that one. They get the bye week before USC. I kind of like their chances. Lincoln Riley's got to prove it to me. There's a lot of hype coming out of LA again.
Shocking.
Yeah, yeah. And I know they don't have your Irish on the schedule. but I'm still a skeptic with the Trojans. So I think they can do enough. Getting Oregon at home, I think, is a big game. But even if they drop that, you got two losses there. So you're allowed, you know, two losses with that 9.5 win total. So I think the over's going to hit. I think they're the best. I honestly think on paper they're the best team in the nation.
Talk to Matt Grill on that same episode, Matt. He has Ohio State slightly rated header ahead of, power rating-wise, Notre Dame, Indiana, by 1.5 points. Some of the game of the year lines, Ohio State at Texas, week two, pick 'em. Ohio State at Indiana, October 17th, pick 'em. Ohio State at USC, Halloween, 7.5-point favorites. The following week, they play Oregon at home. Ohio State is 6-point favorite. And then right now, a 2-touchdown favorite are the Buckeyes against Michigan. The schedule is brutal.
Toughest in college football.
Oregon, Indiana, Texas. Those are all top 6 power-rated teams in college football. USC, probably a top 15 power-rated team.
Well, the road games, Texas, Indiana, USC, and Iowa.
Yeah.
Win total of 9. I am actually not going to bet Ohio State over. I respect Colby's opinion here, and it's not going to surprise me if the Buckeyes go 10-2. But then you're just assuming they're going to win all those home games.
And that includes Michigan, who's been a thorn in their side for quite some time.
What do you think of Julian saying as a quarterback?
I think he gets a little bit of a, I don't want to say bad rap, but I think he gets overlooked a bit because of the receivers he gets to throw to, right? Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate was a first-round pick. You're bringing, it's just an embarrassment of riches every year at the wide receiver position. I think he's a very good quarterback. I don't know if he's the best. I don't think he is the best, but I'd say it's fair to say he's a top 10 quarterback in college football this year.
Yeah, top 10 quarterback. If you bet Ohio State over 9.5, then what happens if they start to suffer some key injuries? Let's say Jeremiah Smith gets banged up, or your quarterback gets banged up, saying it's going to be awfully tough to get over that 9.5 total with that schedule.
You know, Matt, we'll break it down certainly as the summer goes on and as we get into August and get ready for the college football season. But you look down the list of just names that are familiar and the odds that they have to win the Heisman Trophy, man. I'm not saying that he's going to win it, but you look at a C.J. Bailey at NC State, 180-1. You look at Bo Prabula, 150-1. Matt, do we have a goal?
We got a goal.
Did the BTTS just come home?
It just hit.
Wow.
In the 90th minute.
Easy winner for Stormy. Minus 120. The BTTS, both teams to score, comes home Morocco. In the 90th minute, Matt ties the game, and we're back alive, baby. See? Give up hope.
I love listening to you call soccer. You should be on Fox.
I don't know to take offense.
They should let you talk about the betting angles and all that live on the broadcast.
That's what the Bear does.
We have a roar in the sports book behind us, so I knew something happened, something big happened, and there it is.
Morocco ties it up at 1. Here we go. Watch the replay, man. I'm not going to give play-by-play. I'm embarrassed now. A header.
Oh,
wow, that was a hell of a play. Nice. 1-1.
That's the way to use your head.
Woo. Nice. Well done. Netherlands and Morocco, 91st minute. Are we destined for another shootout today, Matt?
I hope so. I love the penalty kicks to decide these games. You know, by the way, I was going to mention this. So we had Todd McShay talking about how impressive C.J. Carr, Notre Dame quarterback, was at the Manning passing camp. What are the odds on C.J. Carr to be the number one pick in next year's NFL draft?
Good question. Pulling it up now.
Oh, no. Was that another home run for the Dodgers?
C.J. Carr, by the way.
By the way, Andy Pahez just hit a homer. Jump had never allowed a homer in his career, about 170 batters. Dodgers just hit 2 in this inning. 5-3, Dodgers take the lead on the A's.
These odds courtesy of FanDuel. Arch Manning plus 185, Dante Moore plus 360, C.J. Carr 5-1.
Yeah, I was hoping for a little bit better.
According to Corey, our producer, 650, plus 650. Okay. So C.J. Carr plus 750 to win the Heisman, plus 650 to win or to be the number one overall pick. And, you know, McShay went on and, you know, talked about how it was just buzzing down there in Louisiana with coaches talking about CJ Carr. So plus 650 might not be the worst look. Hey, I leave number one overall pick bets to you, Matt. AJ DeBanza plus 550. Mm-hmm. Well done for you. What a game we got going on in Monterrey, Mexico. This is just a round of 32 match. 1-1, Netherlands and Morocco. Hey, thanks everyone who joined the show. Tommy Smith, great insight on the World Cup, and Johnny Avello. Thanks to Corey, our producer, and everyone behind the scenes. For Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. This has been VSiN Primetime.